Welcome to the Ted Brewer Show. We're happy to be with you again. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ted Brewer Show. It's great to be back with you today. Happy Monday to you. I'm glad things are going well. The world's basically financial markets are kind of cracking up, but other than that, we're doing good. So how are you doing today, Oz?
Doing real good, bud. Just sitting here at the office. Got some pretty interesting stories to go over today. And hanging out with you.
Oh, real quick, Doc Marquis is going to be on with me on Thursday this week. Austin will be on vacation. Also, we've got a guy who's going to come in who's a specialist in magnesium chloride therapy for spinal stenosis, for bone spurs, for joint issues and arthritic conditions. He'll be with me on Wednesday, and then Doc Marquis will be with me on Thursday. And I think we've got somebody else filled in already for Friday. And what we're going to be doing is on Saturday, Sunday night, I'll be going through the entire gamut of what's going on with chemtrails, weather warfare, HAARP, the different things that are causing all of these crazy things to happen globally. And we're going to be going into detail in this whole thing. I've got a bunch of new information on that, and I promoted it last night on last night's show, so I'm not going to redo that today. But Sunday night is going to be a real eye-opener. It's going to be a scorcher. I may or may not bring a co-host in for that because I've got so much information to cover. But I want to start with one story here, Austin. This is interesting. This is from Breitbart, so I think it's right. I like Breitbart. And it says that the migrant invasion into Europe will reach over 10 million people, warns the German minister. Europe has barely even seen the start of the migrant influx, Germany's development minister has warned. Greg Mueller said that only 10% of Syrian and Iraqi migrants have reached Europe so far, and 8 to 10 million are still on the way, with even more to come from Africa. The biggest movements are ahead. Africa's population will double in the coming decades. This is incredible. In the Sahara Desert, up to 1 million people have died trying to escape Africa, to come to Europe, to come to Germany. The European Commission, he asked, has lost a significant amount of authority thanks to the crisis. This is basically Angela Merkel's problem. The protection of external borders is not working. Schengen has collapsed. A fair distribution of refugees has not taken place, he has said. He said that the digital age we live in, more people now than ever know about the prosperity of the Western nations, thus making it more likely they will travel there regardless of the cost or the inconvenience. He has also called for 10 billion euro Marshall Plan, with European states paying to rebuild the war-torn countries such as Iraq, Syria, and Libya. Maybe we stop bombing them, Austin, to be better off, huh? All states must pay, especially those who receive no refugees, he warned. When asked about calls from Bavarian regional president Horst Seehofer to put a cap on the number of migrants admitted to Germany, Mr. Mueller responded, "We need a reduction. If we have another million like last year, we cannot successively integrate them at the same time." Mr. Mueller's comments echo those of Heinz Buschkowski, an MP from the Social Democratic Party, who predicted the total number of migrants reaching Germany by 2020 would be between 5 and 10 million. "The situation is irreversible," he said. "The people who are here now, the society is challenged to integrate them and offer them a perspective on life." And then I love this final thing he says. He also blasted those who treat the migration debate with empty platitudes, such as "the refugees are welcome," saying, "This social romanticism, these beautiful speeches for someone who comes from experience is very difficult to bear." So we just want you guys to know that this nonsense, the only reason this hasn't happened to us in this level is because we're protected by the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean. But indeed, we've had 30 million migrants come in from South America, Central America, and Mexico in the last few decades, and they're here working right now. And we've already seen what it's done to our society and what it's done to our social programs and how difficult it has been for these folks to integrate. And these people are primarily Catholics who are coming in from South America. So they have a basis of Christianity in their religion. And so they're not running around, you know, screaming jihad and death to the West, you know. So what do you think about this, Oz?
No, it's definitely a serious problem. I mean, we're seeing more and more of this. We just saw last week, I reported that the cop in Philadelphia, they got the guy on video. He's in full Islam attire, runs off the sidewalk and empties a full magazine, 13 rounds, into the cop car, screaming whatever he yells, you know, whatever Islam things they yell when they do stuff like that. And, you know, that's happening now over here. We're seeing that. Now, just a report came in this morning from Canada. There was a shooting at a nightclub on early Sunday morning. two men got out of a car in front of the nightclub and started shooting into the bar. Only one 38-year-old man was sent to the hospital with serious injuries and was hit. And so at first I was like, well, what's, you know, the incident as far as who got arrested and all that? They said a third person was in the car and was arrested along with the shooters and has been charged, a Muhammad Elmi and a Muhammad Salad, age 31 and 29.
Oh, I wonder if they're Muslim.
I'm assuming so. Maybe not, but I don't know anybody that names their child Muhammad Salad that's not Muslim. How about
Barack Hussein Obama? What were we thinking here, Austin?
That is a good one too. But one interesting thing I noticed on here with the plethora of charges they were charged with, one of them was possession of a firearm with a defaced serial number. Which, for you guys to understand what that means the weapons that they used were firearms that had either the serial numbers dremeled off or sawed off to the point that it was defaced and you could not read the serial number, which means these guns were more than likely stolen before, used in multiple crimes, and basically linked back to this crime now. So again, the whole gun control advocates, you know, the ones that all they want to do is take everybody's guns away, this is again another reason that shows nothing would have changed this except another person there with a firearm that could have offended all those people in the nightclub. The guns were already hot and stolen for who knows how long and had the serial number sawed off of them.
No, this is the point that you and I have made, that Hagman's made, Dave Hodges has made, Sheila has made, all of us have made. The truth is, if you take the hands away from the law-abiding citizens, only the criminals are going to have the guns. This is a concept that has eluded our Democratic friends. I don't understand how they can think through this and not see the concept here. When you tell criminals to turn in their guns, there's enough guns that have had their serial numbers filed off that are buried in people's backyards, packed in Cosmoline, with all kinds of ammo stored with them, that they're never going to be able to get all the guns away from criminals. That's impossible. In fact, if they did get them away from criminals, then they would be would start being imported again out of Mexico. Oh, that's right, Fast and the Furious. Our own CIA ran fully automatic weapons down to Mexico to bring back into the United States to try to take our gun rights away. Oh, that's right, that's already happened with Barack Obama. I forgot about that. Not. And so the crazy thing is this, you know, none of this makes even stupid sense. I mean, sometimes things just from an ironic standpoint make sense, okay? This doesn't even make sense with that, Austin, because you're absolutely on point, spot on, right again, that there's absolutely no way if you take the hands away from the people that are law-abiding citizens that they'll be able to defend themselves from the criminals that have absolutely no interest and absolutely no intent of returning their guns to the police departments or turning them in for confiscation. It's just simply not going to happen.
No, not at all. It never will. That's why I said this couldn't have been avoided by any type of gun law. I mean, what are the criminals going to do? Say, oh, the guns are outlawed, so we're going to go ahead and turn in our weapons with defaced serial numbers. Really? They already didn't have a problem driving into a nightclub and shooting it up with firearms. Why in the world would they follow any possible laws relating to firearms?
Well, this is the Democrats, I really can't believe they're this dumb, but it kind of blows my mind that they keep saying the same stuff. But it could just be the media reflecting the opinion of the media elite and the globalists, because it's going to be difficult, like I said and you've said and so many of us have said already, to do a full-blown takeover of the United States with people armed here. That's what the forefathers of our country knew. That's what they gave us Second Amendment rights. Here's another interesting article by Frosty Wooldridge, and it's called Genocide of America, a Refugee Immigrant Invasion. Over New Year's, the British Broadcasting Company reported that African Syrian refugees attacked sexually 1,000 German women. Even CBS News reported the attacks this past Sunday night, January the 10th, 2015. On Saturday night, a Muslim gunman screamed praises to Allah in Philadelphia as he shot 12 rounds into a police car in an intersection in praise of the Islamic State. What does this mean? Answer, Muslim refugees carry their culture into host countries with a vengeance. No amount of welfare, pity, or aid stops cultural, sexual tendencies and violence of Muslims. Over 1 million refugees stormed into Germany in 2015. Hundreds of thousands more of them flooded into Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Belgium, Spain, Italy, and Austria. Because of her welcoming of those of the refugees, the Time magazine named German Chancellor Angela Merkel Person of the Year. Historians may well rename her the most foolish woman of the century when the final collapse of Germany and the rest of Europe manifests. I would call her the stupidest woman on the planet, which brings a sane person to consider the following points. The United States demographic experts show that third country, world countries, and add 80 million people, I've talked about this repeatedly on the show, especially with Habert, Hagman, especially closer to 100 million, desperate, hungry, and illiterate babies into the world every single year. In reality, 57 million human beings die annually around the world from all causes. Third world mothers not only replace the 57 million with 57 million new babies, but they add another 80 million more babies, net gain. Thus, the 137 million new babies hit the planet every single year. They need water, energy, food, housing, clothing, education, medical care, and all services for the living. In reality, nothing on earth and no entity can facilitate the viability of 137 million new babies. None of those countries enjoys educational facilities or work or food or teachers to sustain them. This is why over 10 million people starve, children starve to death annually. Here's the point of all of this. And I covered this in detail on Hagman's show, oh gosh, but last summer. And I talk about that people don't understand that the bulk of this massive population growth on the planet does not come from the United States or Germany or France or England. The only reason we have a plus population in our countries is because of this massive influx of immigrants coming in all of the time. Same thing with Germany. Germany's in a negative decline. The United States is either flat or in a decline, and we've stopped raising and bearing birth to little Americans. And again, a lot of this has to do with the eugenics protocols that have been in place, the dietilstilbestrol that was used back in the 50s and the 60s, all these immunizations like the Gardasil, which has shown to sterilize these girls. This list goes on and on and on, plus the 1 in 50 now children that are coming down with autism, with the statistics going that by 2025, over half the children, up to 50% will have autism. By 2035, every boy, up to 100% of the boys will have autism, and by 2038, up to 100% of the girls have autism. All of this is specifically designed by the globalists to reduce the population, to create such an incredible burden on parents who have these disabled children that there's nothing they want to do less than have more children, so they're going to cut back even more and more and more. And sadly, the groups of people that come into this country from South America are mostly unskilled migrant labor. And the sad part about that is they're looking primarily for a handout in the United States and not really wanting to integrate into our society. And what I've learned is this. I remember, I believe it was Fox, the former Mexican president, said one time when questioned, they asked him, Austin, they said, why in the world is it that the United States and Mexico share the same border? Why is it that the United States is so prosperous, something that the world has never seen what the United States has been able to accomplish in 200 years? And why is it Mexico shares the same natural resources, the same border, and yet it's one of the most impoverished countries in the world? And his response was this, and everybody stayed, listen to me real close on this because I love what he said. He goes, when the people came to find America, they found America for one reason only, for religious freedom to worship God. When they came to Mexico, they came here for only one reason, to find gold and to worship gold and money. He goes, that's the difference. That's the difference between our cultures. He goes, that's what's happened to us, and that's been inbred into this culture now for the past 200 or 300 years, 400, 500 years, and that's the difference with Americans. Because remember, when the pilgrims came over on the Mayflower, it was because they were being persecuted from a religious standpoint in Europe. That's why they came over here, because they wanted to worship God the way they wanted to worship God and not have to answer to the kings or to the local authorities or to the Catholic churches or to the Church of England. So always remember that. They came to find God when they came to the United States of America, and our entire culture was based on Jesus, on God, the Holy Spirit. I mean, all of this stuff that we've done through all this millennia of time has been based on that. When the great immigration started after the Civil War, when so much of our population was destroyed, the number one immigrants coming into the United States were German. If you look in the white pages, if you can still find a phone book, Brown, B-R-O-W-N, is a German name, Braun. Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R, is Müller. Schmidt is Smith. And if every time you've ever picked up a white page, remember when you were kids, the Browns and the Millers and the Smiths were page after page after page after page. The largest demographics in the United States before the Hispanics have come in and before we've had this multicultural stuff happen to all of us was German. The Germans brought the Protestant work ethic with them because they were the ones that had been reformed through Martin Luther. They were super, super hard workers, and they came in and they had a dream. That's how my grandfather came over from Germany in the late probably about 1870, 1880, my initial grandfather came over here, my dad's father, and that's what happened with him. He was searching for freedom, getting away from Europe, getting away from the tyranny. He was wanting his own land, and he was able to live the American dream and built a 1,500-acre farm, and he came over here penniless. And the crazy part about this is that's what the people who want to come to this country and succeed in America do. The people who want to come over here and sponge off America, Austin, all they do is come over to get their entitlements and their free stuff. And the sad part about it is we've got too many people coming in looking for free stuff, and it's collapsing the United States. What's your next story, son?
Yeah, spot on with that. Well, I wanted to touch, too, the fact that the overnight oil dropped down to $31.74 in early trading this morning. It's the first time since 2003 this has happened. It's continued to slump basically to a 12-year low this month. It did rebound slightly this morning, again, what we've been seeing, but it is creeping closer and closer towards that $30 mark that Russia predicted about 2 months ago. I also got a really good article this morning from Jeff Nielsen. His title was Precious Metals, Buy Now or Roll the Dice. It's a pretty long article, so I'm not going to read the whole thing on here, but one of the things he brings up, he talks about many price-battered precious metal holders may be leery of further wealth conversion, even with the present prices at multi-year lows. Why buy low if you can buy even lower? That's what a lot of people are saying now as far as with the metals. Now, remember, back in 2008, we saw about a 60% drop in silver and about a 30% drop in gold, and it was the ultimate buying opportunity in precious metals. I mean, they plummeted so quickly. Now, with one exception, the smaller main investors and individuals that wanted physical metal, there was virtually no silver to be found, if you guys remember this. Only the large, big silver bars were basically what you could get. What we're seeing now, and he points this out very clearly, is it's basically precious metals are taking a second avenue towards legitimacy, especially silver, and what is called decoupling. As the absurd paper prices generated by these mega banks become more and more detached from reality, the legitimate element of this market, the physical market, simply ceases to function at such fraudulent prices. At this point we're at right now, this dysfunction can only manifest itself in one of two ways. Retailers refuse to sell their prices at such extremely fraudulent prices, or two, retailers begin to set their own prices for gold and silver. Now, remember here, beginning at the end of the retail end, the physical market simply begins to ignore the fraudulent paper prices of the bankers. What he's saying is here, if this continues to happen, the silver and gold prices are actually going to continue to rise on the physical standpoint, even though, you know, he says right here, well, what will we benefit if silver goes to $10 an ounce, but dealer prices with premiums is at $25 an ounce? Silver's not really at $10 an ounce at that point. So many, many people are questioning what to do, because remember, silver is an industrial metal. It's not like gold. Gold's hoarded. Silver is an industrial metal. It's used by the tons every year in all types of industries. I mean, your microwave, your refrigerator, your stove, your Apple iPod that everybody has, your iPhone, they all have silver in them. So he states his last question in here is, many are wondering when the best time is to buy silver and gold. This is an easy answer. Right now. So I just wanted to throw that out there for everybody that's been interested in that. So I've had a lot of people ask me that. What if it goes lower? It can't go much lower as far as physical prices. It simply can't. The physical prices of what actual silver miners are paying right now to get it out of the ground is roughly right around $15 an ounce. Period. That's it. That's where they're limited at. They can't get it any cheaper out of the ground. So just because the spot paper prices say it's $10 or $12 or $13 an ounce like this morning, doesn't mean you're going to buy an ounce of silver anywhere and take physical delivery of it for that price. It just won't happen. So that's what you can definitely look out for. Another thing, too, I wanted to bring up, you know, we know China's economy is pretty shaky right now, but basically a couple months ago now, China has given the go-ahead again to build a new mega city called Jingjing, and it will cover the size of England. And get this, this mega city is going to be designed to house 130 million people. Now, I don't understand where they're going with this, because, I mean, the largest cities in the world are roughly 30 million at max. I mean, at Los Angeles in California is right at 4 million. I mean, our Tampa city, which is a big city in Florida, is 350,000. So China can already barely meet their infrastructure needs, and they have numerous ghost cities for tens of millions of people sitting completely empty. I have no idea why they're trying to build a 130 million person mega city right now. I really don't. It's mind-boggling to me. We've discussed it already before. You think there's some type of weird backdoor issues going on with this, Dad? I mean, this seems pretty strange.
Well, number one, we don't even know if that report's true, because the People's Republic of China, they've been known for, oh gosh, since they were formed, almost, 80 years ago, that they're just a bunch of liars. I mean, that's all they were. Longer, over 80 years now. They're just a bunch of liars. I mean, all they are, basically, is just, you can't trust them in business dealings in most cases. I've got multiple friends of mine who import stuff out of China, and they said that, they'd rather work with South America and with Mexico than they would with China, because it doesn't even matter if you have an ironclad contract. In some cases, they just simply don't honor it. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear to get the contract done, get your money over there as far as your deposit, and then they won't fulfill the orders for what you're telling them that they're going to fulfill it for. Now, I'm not saying they're all like that, but that's the general reputation, and I'm sure that's being carried on to the People's Republic. I mean, I don't remember when in the world that whole thing started with the People's Republic of China. I have to look it up. I'm more of a European history guy. But the stuff about the whole thing with China, with these mega cities, number one, I want to see them build this thing. Their economy is collapsing. They've had to put over $1 trillion of their yuan in their markets in 2015 to hold it up. Over $1 trillion in yuan just to hold their markets up. And it's already in free fall again. I'm not sure what it's going to do tonight, but again, it's over 500 points. We talked about that last night, down yesterday again. Our markets were down some, your markets were down some, but not anything like that, because again, our plunge protection teams are pumping in into billions of dollars in our markets. But let's look at oil again real quick. Crude declined to a 12-year low, as you've already mentioned, but I want to mention the futures. The futures dropped as much as 6.4% in New York, adding to last week's 10% slide. Speculators' net long position in West Texas Intermediate crude slipped 24% in the week ending January the 5th. And this is huge, okay, because that means they're looking at going down. Producer prices in China fell off for a record 46 months, bolstering concern about the world's second biggest economy. A rapid U.S. dollar gain may send Brent oil to as low as $20 a barrel, Morgan Stanley has said. We want to see a sign that China has hit bottom and we haven't gotten it yet, said Michael Lynch, president of Strategic Energy and Economic Research in Winchester, Massachusetts. I'm not convinced that Brent is likely to go to 20 because of the stronger dollar, but it's certainly a realistic possibility. I mean, think about that, Austin. If the oil goes back down to $20 a gallon, we're going to have gasoline prices back around $1 a gallon, which would be great, when you're filling up your trucks or whatever. But the sad part about it is it's going to really, really hurt a lot of these emerging markets. And so it's going to be interesting. Also, the dollar impact, he goes on to say, oil is particularly leveraged to the dollar and may fall between 10 to 25% if the currency gains 5%. Morgan Stanley analysts, including Adam Longson, said in a research note dated Monday, the Society General SA cut its average 2016 Brent forecast to 42 a barrel from 53 a barrel on Monday, while the Bank of America turned its forecast to 46 a barrel from 50. So it says there are no technicals holding up here. So the price we're looking at is a falling knife. Now think about that. The price we're looking at is a falling knife. So, and it says the U.S. Energy Information Administration is projected to report on January 13 that inventories of crude oil, gasoline, and distillate fuel increased last week. There's a huge glut right now of these products already in port. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, Austin. So we're going to find out here pretty quick.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to watch this. And also, too, if you guys have been watching, the United States placed a bunch more troops in South Korea on high alert today, followed by the alleged hydrogen bomb test by North Korea. We talked about that last week. The U.S. responded to the claim by flying a B-52 bomber from Andersons Air Force Base over South Korea on Sunday, and South Korea resumed its theatrical anti-North Korea propaganda broadcast on the border. The U.S. now is stating it is considering deploying B-2 bombers, F-22 stealth fighter jets, and nuclear submarines to South Korea. Now, I don't think, honestly, North Korea would be that brazen to start a massive war with South Korea, just for the fact that, I mean, there wouldn't be much left very quickly as soon as, the F-22s start dropping nuclear warheads on them. They just kind of disappear. So I don't think it would do that. But again, who knows the United States? We might just be looking for another reason to attack another country. Because, do you remember, North Korea is only one of three, I think, regimes, countries left in the world that does not have the basis of a Federal Reserve-controlled bank in their system. So that is something to think about.
Well, you know, that, if we attack them for that reason, it'll be the only reason, because there's nothing in North Korea we want. Those people can't even feed themselves, bless their hearts. They're living in abject poverty and starvation all the time. It's sad, but, you know, they supposedly have a hydrogen bomb, which may or may not even be true. The sad part about all of this is that, you know, what are we going to do? Are we just going to go over there and bomb another country into oblivion just for the sake of it? I mean, what are they going to do? They have no platform to launch these weapons. They have no space-based anything. I mean, they don't have anything. There's basically a third world country that seems to have developed a nuclear arsenal of a few weapons. I mean, there's really not a lot there. I mean, so are we really going to go put more men into this? To me, it looks like it's just more obfuscation, Austin, to distract people.
That's what I was thinking too.
Let's look at this. The Mideast massacre, they're calling it. Equity markets plunge from Bahrain to Kuwait. With all eyes focused on tonight's China's Open, after what happened last night, and the oops, China matters after all, the Middle East has fallen off the front or back pages of mainstream media. However, the last few days have been a bloodbath across the Middle East, with Saudi stocks plunging 2.5% overnight, down almost 13% in the last 5 days, and every market from Bahrain to the United Arab Emirates are all tumbling below August lows. I mean, we warned you guys last week that Saudi was having major problems and that they were basically bankrupt. And I have no idea how you pump this oil out for next to nothing out of these huge wells, and you can't make any money unless your lifestyle, of course, is doing all of this to you. So I don't know, Austin. It's going to be interesting to know what happens with these guys with Saudi. I mean, it's almost as though they're getting set up to take a pretty good hit here pretty quick. What's your next story, buddy?
Yeah. Well, one thing that's interesting, everybody needs to keep a lookout in Arizona now. Apparently, as we do know, you know, over the last couple years, there's been numerous videos in Arizona and New Mexico that have showed just egregious police abuse, and it's been used in court to get a lot of stuff dismissed and get some officers indicted. This is interesting. Now, the Arizona Senate is passing a bill that will outlaw citizens from taking videos of police, even on their own property. Listen to this here. It says, it's unlawful for any person to knowingly make a video recording of law enforcement activity, SB 1054 reads, if the person making the video does not have the direct permission of the law enforcement officer and is within 20 feet of where the law enforcement activity is occurring. It's funny here, it goes on to say, it also states that an individual may not record police on their private property or in their homes unless they are 20 feet away or from an adjacent room. However, if a police officer determines that any recording is interfering in the law enforcement activity or that it may not be in a safe area, the police may order the person to stop recording and leave immediately. This is just crazy. That we know that police routinely oppose citizens recording their activity, and they always are trying to get legislation to go through to provide them with a legal loophole to shut this down. And it looks like they may have done it in Arizona. And a quote on here from John Whitehead, he said, the lines between private and public property have been so blurred now that private property is reduced to little more than something the government can use to control, manipulate, and harass you to suit its own purposes, and you, the homeowner and citizen, have been reduced to a little more than a tenant or serf in bondage to an inflexible landlord. I thought that was an interesting quote.
Wow. I mean, you know, again, the problem is, you know, it's like the Gestapo. I mean, this is what we're turning into. Our police force has been militarized. And what we've done is we've given them the ability to do whatever they want, whenever they want, to do whomever they want to do it to. And then you got to try to go sue them in civil court if they abuse you, which takes, I had a friend of mine years ago, he had gotten really abused in a traffic stop, and he was going to sue them, and the case was dismissed against him. And he actually went to an attorney, and the attorney, and my friend's pretty wealthy. And the friend asked the attorney, I want to sue him. And the attorney says, you most certainly will win. And he said, well, how much can I win? He said, well, you'll probably win $120,000. And he goes, okay, great, let's do it. And he goes, well, do you understand what's going to happen? Yeah. He said, well, no. He said, just do it, because the way they abused me was unbelievable. And he goes, well, it's going to take 5 to 8 years in court. They're going to depose you. They're going to depose your neighbors. They're going to depose all of your friends. They're going to subpoena all of your financial records. They're going to subpoena all of your tax returns. They're going to subpoena everything. And then what they're going to do, if they find anything wrong with any of your tax returns, they're probably going to call the IRS. They're probably going to, you know, make your friends think that you're some kind of career criminal, because of what they're going to do with them. Then they're going to have you brought into to subpoenas and brought you in to be, you know, maybe put you under deposition, probably at least 15, 20, 30 times, trying to get you to trip up on what you're going to say. And it's going to take years and years and years. You won't be able to go on vacation. You won't be able to go anywhere with your family, because they'll schedule everything when they know you're going to be gone, just to harass you. And he goes, and after 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of this, he says, you'll get a check for $150,000 less my fee of $40,000, so you'll end up getting, you know, what, $80,000-$90,000, you know, for this unbelievably inconvenience of 8 years. So you'll make about $10,000 a year, completely ruining your life. And I thought, my friends tell me this, and I thought, this is nuts. Why would you do that? He goes, well, I didn't do it. I told the attorney that I wasn't going to do it. So what was interesting about this is they make it so difficult, Austin, to do this, that most people just walk away and just deal with the abuse. And the sad part about it is, this is how they get away with everything, buddy. This is what they do all the time.
Oh yeah, there's an article too now that I was just reading on. I did a little bit more research on it this morning too, and there's some pretty sinister stuff going out in Fresno, California. The police department out there and the sheriff's department are starting to use even more aggressive software. It's called Beware software. And listen to this. Listen how crazy this is getting. This will remind you of Minority Report at its finest, if you've ever seen that movie. This program, it's called Beware software, scours billions of data points, including arrest reports, property records, commercial databases, deep web searches, and social media postings, and then calculates the person's threat level at the high of three color codes, green, yellow, or red. So what they're doing now, as soon as a call comes in that may be a higher alert call, like a domestic violence call, something like that, they immediately get the names of the individuals and the address of the residence where it's happening, and they run it through this software. And now what happens is, it's used in Fresno, and it's given local law enforcement basically unprecedented power to peer in the lives of anybody. If you go in there, their surveillance thing now, there's 57 monitors that cover the walls of the center. Operators zoom and pan on an array of roughly 200 police cameras perched across the city. They can dial up 800 more feeds from city schools and traffic cameras. They're adding in another 400 on officers that are wearing them, and also a couple thousand from local businesses. Now, on top of already having those cameras and the Beware software that searches literally every single thing about you, they also have the scan, a private database that's recorded more than 2 billion scans of vehicle license plates and locations nationwide. If gunshots are fired, a system called ShotSpotter triangulates the location using microphones around the city, and the last program called Media Sonar crawl social media looking for your photo or name involved in any illicit activity. And I mean, this has so many ways to go bad, I can't even come up with all of them. And Councilman Clinton Oliver, who's a councilman in California, real, real good libertarian Republican, said that this Beware software now is something out of a science fiction novel. So he meets with Fresno Police Chief Jeff Dyer, who's running this whole protocol, and he basically tells him, he goes, Jeff, I need you to run my threat level right now. As, say, we're getting a phone call in, my name, my address, what's my threat level? So Dyer agreed. Now, this guy's a councilman. He's not some yak off the street. I mean, he's one of the top guys. They run him. Oliver comes back as green, but his home comes back as a yellow because of someone who previously listed the address. And he goes on to say, even though it's not me that's the yellow, your officers are going to treat whoever comes out of that house in his boxer shorts as the yellow guy. That's not very fair to me. And he added in there, this Beware software has failed right here with a council member as an example and should not be used under any circumstances. This is some serious stuff that they're starting to play with out there that really, really is going to start escalating quickly if they allow this stuff to continue.
And this is exactly what I'm going to talk about on Sunday night. They're tying us into an artificial intelligence quantum computer that processes trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of bits of data. That's what all of this data mining has been about. It has nothing to do with an individual sitting around trying to look at this data, because that's a physical impossibility. They're tying us into an artificial intelligence quantum computer that's like the next generation, probably what we know of as a computer, probably 50, 100 years in advance of what we know. Where they got the technology from, you can only guess. Probably from it's off-world technology, so I'm figuring some fallen angel nonsense going on, or aliens, or whatever you want to call them. But the problem is, Austin, something's happening here. I mean, we're actually getting tied into this quantum computer. We're being infused with the processing chips from the chemtrails, nanoelectric crystals, and I'm going to cover this in detail on Sunday night's show. And it's sad because, I mean, we've all been infected already. And once they flip this switch on and they get the bugs worked out of it, we're going to be tied into this giant electronic matrix. I mean, even our biology is going to be tied into it. And there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it. It's just to pray and, you know, believe that the Lord Jesus is going to get us out of this mess that we've put ourselves in by allowing these entities to do this. Always remember what Jesus said, and always remember what Genesis chapter 6 says. Genesis chapter 6 says that every man's thoughts were evil all of the time. And the only reason that Noah basically didn't get flooded out with the rest of them is because, number one, he was a lineage through Christ, through which Christ would come through, but also because his DNA was pure, his seed was pure. He didn't have any corrupted DNA. And this corruption of the DNA stream is starting all over again, has been going on now for 40 or 50 years. And what they've learned, Austin, is this, that now they can continue to corrupt us through the GMOs, through the chemtrails, through energy, through frequency, all of this stuff. And that's what they're doing. And that's why Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. And so in the days of Noah, every man's thoughts were evil all of the time. They can control mood. They can control anxiety. They can have you control euphoria. They've learned how to do all of this. And this is 30, 40-year-old unclassified technology. I mean, you can read the one book, The Men Who Stare at Goats, they tell you all of this stuff. And this is a book that was written many years ago. And the nuttiest part about all of this is it's out there in the public knowledge, but they know that most people simply don't read anymore. They don't look it up. And if they do look it up, they've been so dumbed down with fluoride and with immunizations and with aluminum toxicity that they won't understand it if they do read it, and they won't believe it. Because once you hop down this rabbit hole, once you go down this one, and you're going to go down it with me on Sunday night if you want to know it, it's going to wake you up, and you're going to realize very quickly that this is not what I thought it was going to be, and this ain't Kansas anymore, friends. This has got one. This is one of those deals that we need to wake up and we need to realize what's happening. Let me give you another story. Merkel is out. German far right vents fury after Cologne attacks. The Agence France Presse chanting Merkel out and waving German flags. Supporters of the Pegida movement vented their anger Saturday against migrants after a rash of sexual assaults in the western city of Cologne, carrying banners and signs bearing slogans like "Rape refugees not welcome." The far-right protests took aim at Merkel, accusing her of allowing migrants to run amok in Germany through her liberal stance towards those fleeing war. "Merkel has become a danger to our country. Merkel must go," a member told the crowd, which echoed the call. Witnesses have described the perpetrators of the assaults in Cologne on the night of December the 13th as people with North African or Arab appearance. I mean, you know, Austin, the sad part about all of this is that the people who were in Germany weren't asked to vote on this. You know, nobody took a poll and said, "We want to bring in 10 million immigrants. They're going to come in and rape you, take your jobs, rape your daughters, implement Sharia law, and change your culture. How do you would like to just vote yay or nay on that?" Nobody did that. Merkel just unilaterally did it because she's a globalist with the rest of these guys. And that's what she wanted to do, and she did it. And so it's really, really sad. To me, it's really, really awful, to be honest with you. But the show today is brought to you by healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters with an S.com. We have a newsletter we send out on health nutrition about 2 to 3 times a week. Our lists are growing. Our audience is getting huge on this show, and we thank you. We thank you for your support. The newsletter is totally free. You can go online, healthmasters.com, sign up for the newsletter totally free. If you want to call the office, you can call us at 1-800-726-1834, 1-800-726-1834, and realize that, you know, your health is your most valuable asset, and you need to treat it accordingly. We have some of the highest quality nutritional supplements made in the world. My family and I take them. With Doug Hagman, we were able to help him get his blood sugar under control within a matter of weeks. Dave Hodges, he had serious problems with his knees. He was able to get those under control within a matter of weeks. There's a lot of natural protocols that you can follow to feel good and have tremendous energy every single day of your life. I mean, I'm 60 years old. My mental acuity is as good as it was when I was 18 years old. Now, my body, I'm not as strong as I was when I was 18. I have to admit that. But I can still run and throw a Frisbee, Austin.
Yeah.
And for a 60-year-old guy, that's pretty good. But go sign up for our newsletter if you could, healthmasters.com. And thank you so much for getting your supplements from us. Thank you so much for your support. We appreciate you. What's your next story, Oz?
Another one that I wanted to keep everybody informed of. I know everybody's been kind of watching that whole incident out in Oregon, just keep an eye on it. But apparently on a Friday now, Idaho militia group, the Three Percenters, arrived at the Oregon refugee on Friday as armed occupiers refused to leave the federal building, which they already know. They said they would be securing the perimeter, and they basically wanted to keep an eye on everything to make sure nothing stupid happened and to prevent a Waco-style situation. So a lot more people just showed up out there, which is going to create an issue if the FBI or any of these guys want to start escalating the situation, because they're actually apparently pushing the perimeter out, doing patrols. They have, from what I've read, and like I said, I have not been to Oregon recently. I'm not living out there, so I'm only telling you what I'm reading and what I'm seeing. They also look like they're setting up, at least on one of the wildlife reserve towers, some type of long gun team. So this situation is going to be interesting now, because this won't be a couple guys basically barricaded in a refuge anymore in a wildlife center in Oregon. This is going to start turning into most of these militia guys in Idaho. You got to understand, most of them were around when Ruby Ridge happened with ATF and the FBI escalating that whole situation with Randy Weaver. So most of these militia guys are very, 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 how should I say, not for the FBI and ATF. So these guys have very, very little tolerance, and they're essentially here to make sure the situation is not handled the way the Branch Davidians were handled or Ruby Ridge was handled. So it's just stepped it up another level. I'm not even going to lie right now. It stepped it up a whole other level if something starts to escalate, because this isn't going to be a little breach and clear anymore. This is going to be a serious hostile environment if something goes wrong.
I think the federal government needs to back down on this and just walk away from it, Austin, and let these guys defuse, and eventually they'll get bored and go home. I think escalating this is a nightmare, and I think for these militia guys to escalate, it's a nightmare. This is not what we need. We don't need another Ruby Ridge, another Waco. We don't need that type of precipitating incident to give Obama the right to declare, you know, the national emergency and executive order us out of our guns. We don't need this. We've got too much garbage going on globally right now, where the globalists trying to overrun the country, for these guys to be out there doing any of this. And the truth of the matter is, you know, this is not what happened on the Bundy Ranch down there. This is not part of that. I mean, this is not, and Chuck Baldwin wrote probably one of the best letters I've ever seen him write on this particular thing. This thing just needs to de-escalate. Because
the issue, too, Bud, is like, it's like that old John Wayne movie we used to watch where he quotes on there, where he goes, "I don't care if it's your fault, I don't care if it's his fault. If that kid gets hurt, I'm going to blow your head off." And that's essentially what is going on now, because it doesn't matter if it's FBI's fault, ATF's fault, the Three Percenters, AIM and Bundy, it doesn't matter. They're going to spin this. The media will make sure they do everything they can to spin this as white, right-wing extremists with guns try to kill federal officers. Those will be the headlines as soon as something happens. And it doesn't matter if it happened or not. That's how it's going to get spun immediately in the media.
You're absolutely right. And see, that's the precipitating incident that they may be looking for. I'm not 100% convinced that, you know, this isn't another false flag. that's how it was precipitated. I mean, this whole thing reeks, and so I think we just need to, I mean, we just need to encourage these guys just to step away from this. This is not that time to do this. It really isn't. And, you know, we don't need another Waco. We don't need another Ruby Ridge. We don't need another Oklahoma City. We don't need any of this stuff. Because now, you know, we all know Oklahoma City was another false flag to take away more gun rights and to take what Oklahoma City was a false flag to take away all of the bad publicity that was going on because of Waco and Ruby Ridge from Janet Reno. That's what that was. In fact, even Clinton said that one of the worst mistakes he made in his presidency was putting Janet Reno in. And I mean, it's just a disaster. That whole thing is a miserable, miserable mess out there, and it needs to de-escalate. It really does. Let's go to another story here. EPA releases study on pesticides killing bees, and it gets sued immediately by beekeepers. A natural blaze. Wednesday, against the EPA, the Center for Food Safety, on behalf of several beekeepers, farmers, and sustainable agriculture and conservative groups, filed a lawsuit in January for challenging, this is a poorly written article. The Center for Food Safety stated in a press release, EPA has allowed millions of pounds of coated seeds to be planted annually on more than 150 million acres nationwide. The lawsuit alleges the agency has illegally allowed this to occur without requiring the coated seeds be registered under the federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act, without enforceable labels on the seed bags, and without adequate assessment of serious ongoing environmental harm. This whole thing with the bees is a major, major problem. And if we're not careful, we're going to have a major shortage of food. All this, remember, what is it, 30 or 40% of all of our vegetables and a lot of the produce come out of California, which is in this massive drought because of that high-pressure zone they parked outside of California with their atmospheric heaters, Austin. And so, sadly, you know, we've got a major mess going on in the country with food, with water, you know, with rights. I mean, there's too much stuff going on right now to be starting something in Oregon. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, no, you're definitely right about that, because, I mean, it's there's definitely significant stuff going on right now that we need to be aware of. And also, too, wanted to let all of our customers know that our Testo Plus is back in stock. It's a great product. It basically helps to unbind serum-bound testosterone, and what that means is testosterone that's gotten bound to different receptors that cannot readily use it. I know a lot of you guys had it on back order. We appreciate your patience. We just got it back in, it looks like, this morning now with UPS. So all the back orders for Testo Plus will be shipping out today. We should be able to get all of them out today, so you guys should have them before the end of the week, actually, which would be awesome. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that and keep everybody informed, because I haven't sent an email out on it yet, so we probably will do so today.
Now, Austin, you know, there's a lot of things you can do from a libido standpoint. I know the HGH Stimulate really helps libido. Vitamin E does, zinc does, Testoplex does. Is that the full stack that you give people when they're trying to, or do you throw Tribulus and a few other things in there?
No, there's another product that we also add, and a lot of times the Tribulus is a good base supplement. I tell people on a budget standpoint, a low dose of Tribulus at bedtime is really effective. One cool thing about Tribulus is I've seen no adverse side effects from running that compound extremely high, anywhere from 3 to 4 grams at a time, which is around 10 to 12 capsules. Again, I can't recommend that, but if you decide to do it on your own, that's up to you. So Tribulus is definitely a good, cheap option. We have another one that's basically an Indonesian root extract called Tonggat Ali in a 200-to-1 extract. I looked for years to find a very legitimate, high-potency source of this. This one actually comes out of Switzerland. Very, very strong, and we've seen really good results with people that have had issues with low testosterone, even with people that have been on testosterone replacement therapy for years, where actually I had one individual who was actually able to come off of it and stay strictly on this product and still keep his testosterone level. And it's still a manageable range. It never was extremely elevated, as high as I would have liked to have gone. But again, he was very happy with it. So that's another two products that are a great option, along with the ones you just mentioned.
Well, if people want to have more information, they can call you at the 800-726-1834 number on that. Because I know when guys get older and they start losing testosterone and they start losing their libido, they start losing lean muscle weight, a lot of times it'll put them in, they call it andropause, and they end up getting kind of depressed and kind of moody from it because it's just they know they're getting older and their bodies aren't working like they need to. So there's a natural way to maintain that testosterone without having to go on testosterone therapy, either oral or injections on an ongoing basis. I'd much prefer people do that, and I think your doctor would too. U.S. coal production falls to the lowest point and level in 30 years. That's because the Obama administration has closed upwards to 200 coal plants now, and they're trying to get completely off coal. U.S. coal production has fallen to its lowest level in 30 years as cheaper sources of power and stricter environmental regulations reduce demand, according to preliminary government figures. A report released last Friday by the U.S. Energy Information Administration estimates that 900 million short tons of coal were produced last year, a drop from about a billion short tons in 2014. That's the lowest volume since 1986. Last year's drop in demand hit hardest in the Central Appalachian Basin, where producing plunged 40% below its annual average from 2010 to 2014, according to the report. The U.S. coal industry didn't get any help overseas last year either, as exports to the United Kingdom, Italy, and China plummeted by more than 50%. Overall, U.S. exports of coal dropped by almost 21% last year, the report estimated. Now, let me share something with you. A lot of people say, well, it's better to get rid of coal. The coal that they're using is a lot of low-sulfur coal, plus the scrubbers on the stacks is technology that they've really refined, and these stacks don't put out a lot of the acid rain products that we have with the sulfur dioxide. Coal is a very clean fuel source at this point with our technology the way that it is, and it's sad to me that all of these states that are producing this coal are being directly affected economically from this, and that King Obama has basically unilaterally come out now and closed, I think it's upwards of 200 coal-powered plants in the United States, which is complete nonsense. If anything, he should have just retrofit them with better scrubbers and kept the grid going as well as he could. Now they're going more and more to alternative sources, and we've seen how ridiculous solar power is, especially with the chemtrails. You can add up to a 30 to 60% drop in solar energy from solar panels, depending on how much they spray you that day with their particulate matters. And I've seen that with our own energy panels because I have a solar system here at the house. And so the sad part about all of this is that, we're slowly turning the country back into some third world mess if the power grid goes down and we have all these immigrants here and nobody knows how to grow food anymore, Austin. It's going to be a major, major mess in the United States.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing that I've been told by a lot of people that's something a very good skill set to acquire. I know Mom's pretty good at growing some stuff. Florida obviously is not the best state to grow stuff in, but we've seen a lot as far as digging out and putting in good organic soil. We've had pretty good success with quite a few plants in our backyard as well. But that's definitely something I recommend. You don't have to go crazy with it, but some basic stuff like some avocados, orange grapefruit trees, basic stuff like that is, really good fig trees. That's definitely something you want to look into. It's cheap. They're very easy to maintain. Once you get them set and going, as long as they're getting pretty much adequate water, they grow pretty well, and we've seen it pretty good. But it's definitely a good idea to have some type of backup food, at least a small amount growing in your backyard at any given time in the event that you need it, if there's a backup.
I agree. Oh, one more quick question, one more quick call. It says Trump could win it all. It's a good article. It says nearly 20% of likely Democratic voters said that they would cross sides and vote for Trump. How about 20%? So that's pretty impressive that the Democrats are coming over to him, because I think the Democrats are beginning to realize just how much of a career criminal Hillary is. Hey, guys, We appreciate you. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for supporting our show. Thank you for listening. We love you guys. We just thank you. We appreciate you. And we're looking forward to talking to you tomorrow. Tomorrow we've got all the news stories coming up. Anything you want to close with, Oz?
That'll be it, guys. You guys have a blessed night, and we will see you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Good night. Good afternoon, or goodbye, or whatever. Bye, guys.